production. From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, sunk cost. Labor today released its costings as planned, though not before another unedifying display from a press pack that has repeatedly demanded to know their planned deficits, but cracked it when Labor tried to send them to Canberra for the announcement. As the Murdoch media has been eager to report, Labor's short-term deficits were higher than the Coalition's by $7.4 billion, a figure not much bigger than the predicted cost of the cancelled French submarine deal. The media's ongoing obsession with the exact figure, rather than the merits of the policies themselves, has been bizarre, considering that the national debt is already heading towards $1 trillion. Announcing the costings, Shadow Treasurer Jim Chalmers and finance spokesperson Katie Gallagher emphasised quality over quantity, insisting it was about, quote, responsible investment in areas that would improve productivity, such as childcare. As a few journalists in the much calmer Canberra press conference noted, it didn't seem particularly responsible to be following the Coalition in continuing to throw grants at dog parks, BMX tracks and murals. But was that $7.4 billion figure really worth 2 days of other journalists shrieking, "Say the figure," at the opposition leader? The release of the costings, the absence of which has dominated Anthony Albanese's presses for the past few days, was pretty much a nothing burger. Labor had more or less already confirmed that there would be a modestly larger deficit and that savings would be made by cutting back on pork barrelling, though not entirely eliminating it apparently, as opposed to the devastating public sector cuts the Coalition has planned. Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce has already arced up at Labor's plan to cut millions from his heavily rorted regional grants fund, suggesting that Labor doesn't care about country folk. As Labor Deputy Richard Miles noted on RN Breakfast this morning, that fund was previously used on a $10 million pool upgrade in North Sydney. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Scott Morrison had already begun shamelessly complaining that higher deficits meant that Labor shouldn't be in charge of the economy. Quell surprise. Never mind, of course, the billions his government had racked up in debt. The Prime Minister carried on in that vein today, railing pathetically against a $7 billion figure that simply does not have the impact that it used to, no matter how much he proclaims it to be, quote, a lot of money. Curious, considering his government made no effort to recoup what some estimate to be $40 billion in JobKeeper waste. The Shadow Treasurer confirmed today that Labor had no plans to recoup that either, for all their complaints. Of course, Morrison and co. were always going to try to make something of Labor borrowing even more than them, no matter how responsible or targeted. But what has been truly shocking is the conduct of some members of the media trailing Albanese, who have been quite happy to waste everyone's time by repeating Liberal talking points about timing and how can we trust you. When given the chance to ask questions about the very thing they had been demanding to ask questions about, and of the people responsible for Labor's finance policy to boot, the press pack had a meltdown, accusing Albanese of hiding from them until the decision was reversed. The ensuing morning presser was especially vile. Albanese was mauled, according to news.com.au, with many journalists simply proving what a waste of time these exercises have become. Reporters continued to ask pointless questions about the costings, the dedicated press conference for which they had refused to attend, and instead hectored Albanese for the figure, in a display that prompted ABC veteran Laura Tingle to declare it embarrassing for her profession. Labor later held a post-release presser where journalists couldn't help having a weird dig about being made to wait. It's quite sad, frankly, to again be covering the conduct of the media, which time and again has decided to make itself the story during this election campaign. Some of this comes down to TV journalists wanting the shot. Some of it no doubt comes down to the bias of News Corp, which, as Margaret Simons recently wrote, may have begun to expose its own impotence. But today's display, in which journalists refused to go to the announcement of the very thing they had been asking about, opting instead to lecture, test and gotcha Albanese some more, with a few notable exceptions, only proved what a twisted conception some in the media have of their role in this campaign. Today, as many intelligent minds remarked, should prompt the industry to take a long, hard look at itself. Because from where many of us are sitting, it doesn't look good. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. United Workers Union Aged Care Director Caroline Smith questions why COVID-19 has disappeared from the public debate when 350 older Australians have died from the disease during the election campaign alone. As she told The Guardian, aged care workers are continuing to turn up to care for residents, while these political leaders are only turning up for campaign photo ops. Meanwhile, virologists say there is a lack of political urgency as winter approaches. And in today's Bad Opinion, Scott Morrison has responded to Anthony Albanese's criticism of the Coalition's attack ads poking fun at his Italian name. As he told today's press conference, if he's that precious and he can't hack a campaign, then how on earth is he going to handle running this country? Pressed on the fact that migrants might also be offended, the Prime Minister said he didn't accept that. Talking numbers, and today's unemployment rate is 3.9%, though only 4,000 jobs were created in April, below expectations. A staggering 740,000 people worked reduced hours in April due to illness. And in today's policy, Labor has promised a review to address the gaps that diverse communities face in accessing Commonwealth services, saying the pandemic has highlighted the issue. In today's episode of 7am, at this stage of the campaign, the Prime Minister and opposition leader can travel to three different states in a single day, visiting key seats and making announcements to win over undecided voters. Where are they going? What's their pitch? And which campaign is more confident heading into election day? Today, Chief Political Correspondent for the Saturday paper, Karen Middleton, takes us inside the whirlwind final days of the campaign trail. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is The Politics for Thursday, May 19. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop, and head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.